Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I was reading this article that was in Tricycle magazine, and it was written by John Tarrant Roshi. I don't know how many of you are familiar with him. And I believe he's Australian. And so the story that he was telling in this article, which was about him coming back to visit his father who was dying, and he had a very difficult relationship with his father. And so the story is about that relationship and his getting together. And then at the beginning of this article, this story, there was a koan that preceded it. And it's one of those things where it just struck me. And the koan is, people who go to wild places to search for their, people go to wild places to search for their true nature. Where is your true nature? So when I read this koan, I immediately thought of the wandering monks and poets who for centuries wandered the Chinese mountains. And there was a description that I liked a lot of the essence of these mountains. Gnarled pines, wind-blown clouds, jutting mountain pinnacles, horses, and trailing willow. Moonlight on meandering rivers, fishermen, white cranes and mandarin ducks, the screech of a gibbon, tiny white plum blossoms on twisted branches, a battered wooden boat moored in the distance. So they wandered landscape that is vast and at the same time intimate, mysterious, and deeply familiar. So I think that's, for me, in the way that it resonates, it's a beautiful description. Not that I've been there, but how I imagine those mountains to be. And there's a poem which has a title, and that title is Seeking But Not Finding, the Recluse Under the Pines. I asked the boy, where is your master? He replies, my master's gone to gather herbs. I only know he is on this mountain, but the clouds are too deep to know where. So Mountain Zen has never been about founding temples. It's been about getting away from them to the mountains. And this was true both for Zen monks and also Chinese poets, Han Shan amongst them. And the whole story and history of the poets is also, it's really incredible. And but I'm not going to go into that in today's talk because I want to just focus on the monks. So it has never been about founding temples. It's been about getting away from them to the mountains. And Zen practice is about solitude, escaping worldly concerns, and communing with nature, attuned to the rhythms of life outside of society. Now I can feel in my body the rhythms of the mountain. It's a way that you can experience the incredible interaction of all aspects of the mountain, of the woods. Everything in harmony with each other. So the rhythms of life outside society. Now, many of famous Zen masters were practitioners of what's referred to as mountain Zen, including the Bodhidharma, who practiced in a cave for 9 years. I don't know whether this is literally true or not, but it gives the essence of the mountain both the mountain Zen masters and the mountain poets. They didn't spend a weekend in the mountain. They spent years of their lives. And also Huineng, who lived in the mountain, who lived in mountain seclusion for 15 years before he was revealed as the fifth patriarch of Zen. Now, as an aside, the famous Zen master and poet who wrote the famous Mountains and Rivers Sutra, Dogen, was also a lover of nature. Now, he was a Japanese teacher, but he had that same affinity to the natural world. And he built his monastery, I'm not sure how to say it, but Iheiji, deep in the mountains, preferring the unspoiled forest, hills, crags, and roaring streams to the high society of Kyoto. A famous Zen monk, Stonehouse, who is also a poet, wrote, "I entered the mountains and I learned to be silent. I'm usually too tired to open my mouth. I don't point out the mistakes of others. My own faults are what I try to alter. The tea is done and the stove is red. The moon is up and my paper windows glow white. Who sees through this illusory world? Yen Su Ling sits alone on his rock." That's so beautiful. And again, having never been in the mountains, somehow it captures the energy that I feel when I think about these mountains and the monks who wandered there. So the mountain monks lived in harmony with the wilderness. And they realized, as I said, that everything on the mountain lives in harmony with each other, with everything else. It's like, this is maybe a simple-minded example, but if you imagine, I think it's the four tenors, but if you imagine anybody singing together in harmony, that is literally the harmony of the mountain, that togetherness, that inseparability, that collective energy that exists. So what is living in harmony? It's really, we talk about this in Zen all the time, it's really being in one with the mountain. Being at one with the mountain and also being at one with all of life. So being in harmony and being at one, through my eyes, are the same thing. And this harmony, this being at one, is an innocent state of awareness that's free and wild, completely awake and fresh. So to become free and wild opens the door to live in harmony with everything. Being wild is we drop all convention, all theories, all opinions, all of the things that we acquire in our regular daily world, right, which creates all the thoughts that we have. And to be wild is to be free of that, to let all of that go. And this is what was attempted. This was the purpose of wandering the mountains, to entering this natural world, which was outside of the general everyday culture. So our true nature is that we are one with everything. Our true nature includes everything. So everything, right? It includes two old men helping each other up the stairs. It also includes bird poop all over a garden Buddha. The sound of thunder. The prisoners at a federal prison. It includes everything and everyone. It's all inclusive, true nature. And to realize that, to experience that, this koan is telling us we must become wild. We must become free of convention. All the things that keep us like this if we drop those, if we become wild, this becomes like that. So Zazen is the practice of becoming free and wild. So I ask you the question to tell me, where is your true nature? Is your true nature somewhere? Where do you find your true nature? Is it even a matter of finding? So the question remains, where do you find your true nature? Thank you.